I'm Nick Swinmurn. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
Happy 2019! Episode, was it 39? I think so.
39? What were you going to say, 20?
I was going to say 29, but...
Happy New Year.
Yes. How is everybody doing? That's great.
You think they're going to answer? Oh, yeah. Oh, well, awesome. That's great. Glad you guys are all doing well. Apparently, Dennis is doing well, too.
Yes.
Hearing things.
Yes. How was your New Year's?
We got an audience today. We got a guest audience. I can't reveal. Some people want to be in here without... They just want to see Dennis in action.
Yeah, a lot of big briefcase full of supplies.
Yeah.
It's nice. So how was your New Year's?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I was, we were home by about 7.
Yeah.
And then we watched fireworks off the balcony.
Yeah, I saw the Latino Bob on your
Instagram. Yeah, Latino Bob got his ass kicked. He was very sunburned.
Dude, he had some traps on that guy.
Yeah, his neck was amazing. Almost broke my hand on his neck. No one told me that the Latino Bob was going to be a lot harder than the domestic
Bob. They usually are. A lot harder.
Broken knuckles. What'd you do? You went to a concert?
Yeah, actually, we went to go see Lauryn Hill. That was pretty amazing.
The Education of...
The Miseducation, the whole album.
Dennis Rodriguez?
Yeah. It was actually really good.
Was it really that album?
Yeah, she just did that album, yeah. So, and then we got a... It was amazing. They sell, $75 t-shirts. And...
How many did you get?
One. Just one. It was like a giant t-shirt. It was like...
What do you mean?
I don't know how to describe it. It's like those oversized shirts. And my wife was joking that she would use it as a dress. Well, then I said, well, now I have to see it. So I bought it for $75. But if you buy it, she will sign it for you.
Huh.
But I didn't want her to sign a shirt. So I ended up buying a poster for $30 so she could sign that.
But she sat there and you signed it in person or they just came back? And
After the show, yeah. You bring your what you bought and then she'll be there. So I got to meet her and say hi.
Nice.
Well, I didn't say anything. I let my wife talk and stuff. But it was cool. Yeah,
Did you wear the t-shirt when you met her?
No, that would have been weird.
For the t-shirt with like a little rope belt around the waist?
Yeah, that's what Christine was thinking. I was like, okay. Well.
Be just like Vikings. I started watching a new show. I got a good show.
Which one?
What's it called? The Last Kingdom?
Oh, yeah. I saw it with the guy from Star Trek?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Vikings, but it's like from the English and Viking perspective. It's pretty good.
Are there dragons or anything like that?
No dragons.
Oh, sorry.
Dragons, I don't know if you know, dragons weren't real. Maybe they were, I don't know.
Yeah, it's debatable.
Yeah. But no, it's pretty good. And there's 3 seasons. I guess it's been on for a while, so that's a really good thing. Usually with these binge shows, I just try to have an airplane show.
Yeah.
That you can only watch when you're flying. Because then basically whenever you get on a flight, you're like, oh, sweet, I can watch it.
Well, how many seasons is it?
But this one has 3 seasons, I think. So that one might just waste a bunch of time at home watching it.
I started binge watching again The Office. So New Year's Day, we stayed in and watched, I think it was like 20 episodes, 20 or 30 episodes.
I can't watch shows twice.
Really?
I can't even watch, if I watch movies, that's not true. We watched Chasing Mavericks one day, but usually if I watch a movie that I can remember at all, I can't watch it again. Fall straight asleep.
Well, The Office, yeah. I've seen the entire season 3 times. There's the 3rd time. And then Parks and Recreation, I've seen that 3 times also.
I did find the North Shore DVD and the American Me DVD.
Oh, all right.
I don't have a DVD player, do you?
No. So, yeah. Might not a long time
ago. So they don't do any good. They don't do us any good. Do you know how to take it and put it on the computer?
Yeah, I can do it.
Oh, shit.
I can show you.
All right. Let's do that.
So what do you think? What's a good topic for today? Since you weren't telling me before.
Well, I had some notes that I jotted down. One of them, I was reminded by Christmas and New Year's that every day matters, right? So you go through these holidays, and I never liked putting all the... I think the days that have such an emphasis on them, or New Year's, like this, the 1 minute that has an emphasis on it, always makes it kind of like... It sucks a lot of the fun out of the day.
Yeah.
Right? There's all this pressure of like, we have however long off school. He's got like 2 weeks, but like there's all this pressure on Christmas Day or New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And just reminded me that like every day matters, right? They're all equal. You just assign certain like importance to some of them. Or emphasis on some of them. So some, even in business, right, you'll be like certain days or certain events where you're like, you're building towards, or you've got like some event or milestone or deadline, and then you either like, well, especially sometimes you create them yourself, right? So you put all this undue pressure on yourself to like, it has to be done by this day or this thing. And maybe it's not ready, but you still maybe even force it out or push it out early when the product's not ready. Or you relax afterwards, right? So you put all this emphasis on working towards this certain event or a day, and then it, when it's done, it feels like you should, you know, it's kind of like there should be a break or something.
Yeah.
So I thought on the break is like all the days are, every day's a day, right? They're all equal. Mm-hmm. So I reminded myself, like, I'm going to try to just like be consistent, like get things done every day. Don't push things off until tomorrow, and don't put too much pressure on today or tomorrow or yesterday. Just like, just get a bunch of shit done every day and like
treat every day like New Year's Day.
And don't create like, don't create your own timelines or deadlines that, you know, put too much pressure on you, whether it's being too optimistic or too pessimistic. Just, I don't know exactly what the point is, but I would just remember sitting there thinking, God, there's so much pressure around these 2 days.
Did you make a big list at the New Year's Eve, like a list of things you want to get done? Like what resolutions, you mean? Yeah, what led you to think this? Like when you saw a huge list of stuff you have to do and then realized.
I thought it on Christmas. I don't remember why. I think it was because we traveled on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. So it almost felt like, oh, we shortened Christmas, or we ruined Christmas because we traveled, like we caught a flight at like 9 a.m, right? So we got up early, and Luke opened his presents, and then it was like we got on this plane, and then
did he open it at the airport?
No, in the house.
Oh, okay.
But then it was like, what's the difference between today and tomorrow? You know?
Yeah.
Like why is there this like, I don't know. It's like this thing about like, you know, today, like you have to get extra stuff or you have to do extra stuff when like just did the same shit yesterday and same thing tomorrow. Just fucking
do just the being same things. Another day.
Yeah. But you just create, anyway, so I just thought you create this pressure on these days or New Year's Eve, like it's almost like at 11 is like, well, hold on, don't have too much fun yet, or don't do this yet because we got to wait for midnight. It's like, why not just wait? Why not just pretend midnight's at fucking 11?
Like, yeah. It's midnight somewhere, right?
You know? Like you're waiting for things. Like, so I know that was my deep thought. What are your resolutions?
Resolutions. Well, let's see.
Did you make any?
I made a couple.
Didn't know. Forget you? Did you forget them yet?
Yeah, I got wasted and passed out. Can't remember. No, I just I was trying this year. I'm gonna try and do things like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like
properly.
No, do things properly with no mistakes. It has to be perfect.
I'm gonna do everything backwards.
No, I'm just trying to get more things accomplished without the stress and. It's actually almost the same lines. Almost every day, take it one day at a time and try and get a little list going every morning and just knock it all down and slowly pick away at things that have been kind of annoying that I haven't addressed. So that's kind of the way I'm approaching it this year.
Nice. Mine is the same as every year. I'm going to stop biting my fucking nails. I'm going to get better at speaking Spanish.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm going to practice or learn to play the ukulele.
All right.
Well, that's the same ones last year. I probably played. How many times did I play a ukulele last year? Look, like 4? 12, maybe?
12 times.
All right. And those were probably all last January. I was doing pretty good on the nails. I had a good 2 or 3 month run, and now they're all gone again. And then Spanish, yeah, it's so useful. Like, I just need to put some time into it.
Yeah. So what I was thinking about, I want to do at least one thing that I'm terrified of doing just to see what it's like. And I always wanted to try an improv class because it sounds fucking terrifying. Right, to try it.
Maybe I'll add another. My other resolution is to videotape your improv class.
Oh, my God. You can join me if you want. You want to try it?
No, I'll join you. I'll film it.
Oh, okay, well, that's not going to work.
No, I don't think I can do anything except giggle the whole time.
I'm really good at it.
Which does this, that segues beautifully into the next thing on my list.
What's the next thing?
Is you're going to have doubt at times, mm-hmm. but you got to just want to try, yeah. Right? So over the course of the trip, so I think we talked last time, all right, I rambled last time. We rented a space to put something in without having a super clear vision of what it's going to be, right?
Yeah.
So I found that exciting. But at the same time, I found myself at times over the last week, like, getting a little stressed out about that. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, what the fuck, you know, like, why? You know, like, it was unnecessary. It's an unnecessary additional stress.
Yeah.
Didn't need to do it. Who does that? Like, why would you, I mean, like, you have these vague ideas, but, you know, 5,000 square feet is a pretty big space to rent without a specific plan.
I'd be a little nervous.
Right? So I was like, kind of going, and like, doubting, like, why, you know, well, you know, can I think of anything that would be good enough to rationalize? Justify or that amount of space and that amount of rent, et cetera, et cetera. And then I was like, that would alternate with, well, isn't that the whole point? The whole point is just to try shit, right? You got to just believe in yourself, try shit. And, you know, business is kind of, it's not supposed to be, but it's, life is supposed to be an adventure, right?
Yeah.
So you can argue you should have made that decision or shouldn't have made that decision. But once it's made, then you might as well embrace it, right? So when in my head, when I'm thinking about things, I've kind of just been telling myself to just lean into it and, like, you already did it. So, like,
it's like you're ready in the ring. You better start throwing punches.
Yeah, right? Like, the octagon door has been closed. You might as well fucking embrace it, right? Because what's the alternative? The alternative is just to either
crawl over the cage.
Crawl over the cage, not try, like, tap out, like, sit on the ground, start smacking the canvas. But it's, like, what would be the fun in that, right? Like, what would the fun be in talking yourself out of trying something? Because, like, it's the same thing where it's like, no one forced you to do it, but no one's stopping you from doing it either, right? You should just we should probably all be, like, curious. So I was like, I'm just going to, every time I start to get anxious or scared, I'm just going to, like, try to embrace that and think, like, wow, this is, like, an opportunity that's actually exciting enough that it can make me anxious, right?
Yeah.
Like, if it's boring and shit, like, that's not going to make me anxious or scared. So the anxiousness and the scared would be, is like, I was like, I just got, that's my other resolution is just remind myself, no, you don't have to do anything. You could just fucking sit there and watch TV all day if you wanted to, but what is the, you know, it's supposed to be an adventure.
Yeah.
So let's go on some fucking adventures.
What was the rush that you felt like when you saw the space open up and you had the opportunity?
Well, first, when we first were going to do it last year, we were going to do the coffee shop in the front, and the back was not available. And then in the course of that process, it became a, what if we could get the whole space? And then it just kind of fizzled. There's a miscommunication between us and the landlord on who was waiting for whom to, like, do some architectural stuff and get some permits. And so in the end, we both kind of thought the other one was just kind of lagging. So we, then we had a, the landlord goes upset. Mm-hmm. Said they weren't going to rent it to us. And we're like, okay, well, fine. We didn't, you know, the idea of what it was going to be had kind of changed anyway. And then I was actually walking by. I left base camp one day, and I was walking by, and I saw the husband of the couple that owns the building. And the wife was the one that was mad. And so he kind of, you know, I kind of looked up and then just looked at the ground, because he kind of looked at me, and I thought, oh, maybe he's mad at me too. Because in their eyes, I had, like, dropped the ball on finalizing leasing it. Mm-hmm. I thought I was waiting for them to get back to me on when they were ready to finalize it. And so then I went across the street, and I was getting my car, and he kind of pointed at me, and I was like, fuck, man, this guy's really pissed. You know?
Jump on the hood.
Shit. This is awkward. You know, it's like our neighbor to the base camp, and, like,
put your mouthpiece in.
Awkward, yeah. And so then, but he texted me later that afternoon. He goes, hey, just want to let you know, we didn't get a chance to talk, but, like, no hard feelings, like, you know. And so I was like, oh, shit. I didn't say anything to you because I thought you were bad, blah, blah, blah. No. And I said, hey, the space looks great. What are you doing to it? Blah, blah, blah. And he said, yeah. And I said, you know, hey, if, you know, whatever else you guys got going on, I'll still be interested in looking into renting it and blah, blah, blah. So that, anyways, led in months later to finally renting it and now getting the whole space. And but I did, you know, in the course of getting anxious, nervous, I think I came out of that as I told myself, just look at this as an opportunity with a very blurry, clear vision of what I think it could be. So I'm excited. It also reminded me of back when, I don't remember if we talked about it before. We were talking about it, went on that short story. Remember when I went down to short story long?
Mm-hmm.
Was the Minecraft idea, right? Of like, and I guess it's the same with Fortnite. So I was watching a son play Fortnite, and it was like creative mode, right? Same as Minecraft. Minecraft, I'd be like, what is the point of this fucking game?
Yeah.
He's like, you just play. I'm like, what about I just play? Like, how do you win? He's like, you can't win. You just play. I'm like, where it's going to play. Hey, just go around, build things, do things. Oh, great. This sounds horrific. But to kids, it sounds fun to just play.
Yeah.
And they didn't need a win or lose or a beginning and an end. It was just exciting to them that there's this endless landscape that they could just build stuff in. So thought, well, that'd be an interesting approach to business as well, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of thinking about the end result all the time or getting too far ahead of yourself with like, you know, what's the exit going to be or what are people going to think or what's this? Just look around and be like, oh, you live in this town? Oh, man, I wish there was a blah, blah, blah. All right, well, you wish there was a blah, blah, blah. Maybe you could ask a couple people, do you guys wish there was a blah, blah, blah too? And if,
yeah,
you know, and maybe people are like, yeah, it'd be cool to have a blah, blah, blah. And then be like, well, then fuck it. Let's make a blah, blah, blah. That's a good example, right? Blah, blah, blah. So that was one of the things where I thought, okay, so let's take that approach. You know, like, what do we need? Like, what would be cool here? What will be kind of fun? We got a space. We've got like this little world. It's almost like Minecraft where we have endless possibilities. We don't have to worry about making it into the biggest thing in the world or, you know, franchising it or opening 20 of them or whatever. We could just focus on, hey, it'd be fun to build something like this and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even in Fortnite, I guess it started as creative. They pushed it into this battle royale, and now they're kind of pushing people back towards this creative. So it's the same thing, right? There's just the apparently when we're kids, we like the idea of just doing stuff just to do it, just to be creative. So, all right, let's do that.
So, you have a foggy idea of what you want to do.
Got a foggy, blurry idea.
Yeah, cross-eyed.
Yeah, cross-eyed.
Colorblind idea.
And then it was interesting. I was talking to Tim this morning. Tim was helping kind of figure out like what exactly is Faded Brands and how does it all tie together and mm-hmm. like why do we do things and how do we do things and how can people work with us or invest in the company or the brands or whatever, like all the different things that in the long run to be, you know, the best we can be is like have this stuff all thought out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was interesting because he was asking me a bunch of questions about businesses that have, you know, quote unquote worked or not worked. And so what I realized at the end was like, I always thought, well, we had this lack of attention to marketing, right? We would get so caught up in the idea of creating something and making something and operating something, but we never really, I always felt like we never maximized or really put enough attention into, well, how are we going to promote it once we've built it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We would just kind of like, in some cases, like Notre Dame Base Camp, we would just open it and people would come in and it would kind of grow organically from there, but we didn't really have a plan in place for what do we do when that stops. And so I think there's some projects that didn't reach their potential because there wasn't enough focus on marketing. But then in the course of the conversation this morning, it made me realize it wasn't just marketing. It was also like there wasn't enough thought put into what is the brand and what is it supposed to be, like according to the vision of starting it, and like what are we doing to ensure that happens, right? Yeah. So you'd almost rush and you'd be like Dunk Contest, for example. Dunk Contest was supposed to be the original idea was it was going to be this kind of like really visually exciting, colorful basketball brand, right? It was like all centered around the idea of the first dunk contest was the 1976 ABA dunk contest. It's got that red, white, and blue ball. Dr. J wins it, jumps the free throw line for the first time and all that stuff. And it was like, wow, you know, like a dunk contest is just like this explosion of like energy and creativity and people are doing this crazy shit. And the whole point of it is just to do crazy shit, right? And then get judged on it. And so I was like, well, that'd be cool. You know, we should celebrate that and have this brand that's kind of does that. And the first shirt we made was just a shirt. We were imagining that we were creating an event shirt for the 1976 dunk contest. And then somewhere along the way, we had a conversation with Brandon over at the Warriors. And that turned into this brainstorm of like, what if we opened a dunk contest Warrior store? Right, which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, love the Warriors, and the Warriors are the hottest thing in basketball right now, and what a great opportunity. But then what ends up happening is by doing that and then getting the NBA license, all of a sudden now you're kind of bound by the rules that the NBA licensing rules and the Warriors rules for, you know, how they want anything related to them presented. And so all of a sudden you've still got an exciting opportunity, but it's become this like Warriors sub-brand instead of being this brand celebrating basketball.
Yeah.
And so now you can't be as creative as you want because you have other people telling you, no, that's not okay. No, that's not okay. Or, you know, try something more like this. And then at the same time, we became so associated with the Warriors that the majority of people thought that Dunk Contest was a Warriors brand, which we embraced at times. We're like, oh, this is awesome, right? Because, like, the Warriors are a bigger brand. We get associated with them. But then in the long run, it limits us because then when we would try to put out a shirt for, you know, that represented a different city or a different player, a different team, you get a lot of feedback. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, why are the Warriors, are you, like, jumping ship, or what does this have to do with the Warriors? And it was like, shit, you know? So it wasn't that the association with the Warriors was bad. It was that we didn't put enough time developing what Dunk Contest was first, so that the Warriors section of Dunk Contest would have been seen as the Warriors section of Dunk Contest. We just jumped straight into this thing without establishing Dunk Contest as a brand in and of itself. So it became this sub part of the Warriors instead of the Warriors being a part of the Dunk Contest brand. So it was interesting. I hadn't really thought about that. I mean, I thought about it, but I hadn't really, you know, that's how things usually happen. Like, I thought each of those things, but I'd never, from someone asking questions and then repeating them to you in a different way, it made you realize, huh, okay. And then you look at, you could almost look at Dethrone, right? So you look back at Dethrone and thought, okay, so if Dethrone was for an MMA audience, and we were going to find up-and-coming fighters, and we were going to try to find that, be a brand that was kind of in the middle ground between kind of the angry MMA brands and, like, Surfskate brands, right? Mm-hmm. But then, even though it's not the same thing, what ends up happening is we became so reliant on being able to sponsor UFC fighters to wear the stuff when they walked out that we almost, in a way, became a UFC sub-brand, right? And then UFC makes us, hey, if you're going to sponsor us, then you can't sponsor any other leagues. And then eventually UFC says, oh, we just sold the exclusive rights to Reebok. And now, because our brand was so tied up as being the UFC being over it, now there was no UFC opportunity. We hadn't built up our own community separate from the UFC. So it was interesting. Like, I hadn't thought of it until he started asking these questions, and all of a sudden you start thinking all these things, and you're like, huh. That's interesting. Or, like, even hearing his perception on some of the brands now, I was like, well, isn't this what it stands for? It's like, no, it's supposed to stand for, I can see why you think that. So
that is interesting that it does that. Like, if you step on the, start with the wrong foot, then yeah, it's hard to back out of it once you're so.
And you want to dive in and just charge ahead and any, you know, oh, this is a great relationship. But, like, you have to kind of force yourself that balance of, like, go fast, but also have a process. So, like, you know that you've established what we are first before you go and with someone else.
Because then it ends up establishing itself, and then you're kind of stuck. Like,
if you don't have an identity beforehand, then the identity you develop will be tied to whatever it is you're now developing that identity through. Yeah. So that was interesting. And for me, it was a good reminder of, like, yeah, you come up with these concepts, but you got to think them through and not just come up with something and, oh, let's try that, and then have it morph into something else. So I know with the space next to Basecamp now, it's like, okay, it was a good reminder of, like, and it reminded me of little things. Like, even a conversation with my wife where I was, you know, when we were on the trip and I was telling her, well, maybe something like this. And she goes, but that's not, like, how you explained, even though it was vague, that's not how you explained, we went on a trip to England, we were eating somewhere, and I was like, you know, it'd be cool, something like this, but if we did XYZ instead. And she's like, what you're saying right now has nothing to do with that. So, you know, you can't mash all these things together. Or if you do, then you have to come up with something completely new. But if you're sitting there saying it's going to be part this and part that, and you haven't, I was like, yeah, you're right. I can't say something is part this and part that unless it has to be more spending a lot of time saying this is what it is. And yeah, we pulled inspiration from this place and this place and this place, but this is how it all fits together, and this is why it is what it is. Otherwise, you just end up being, you know, you don't want to be a place which is like, oh, you're the, like, David Hasselhoff of Germany or whatever,
you're stuck in Germany.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, yeah. So So it wasn't just marketing, it was also brand development and even Basecamp. You know, even Basecamp, the Basecamp evolved over the years for good and bad, right? What it, like, what if you ask people what the brand stood for maybe on during the first year, mm-hmm. and you ask people who just discovered it in the fifth year, they would have a different, even though the workout's the same and the name's the same, it just evolves. It's not good or bad, it depends on who you talk to, but it was a reminder of I could have done a better job of making sure that we kept some of that initial
what was it?
Well, I think initially it was more, I think it got just a little bit softer over the years in a way. There was so much of an attempt to make it, like, I don't know how to describe it, but it started as, you know, the workout was derived from going to AKA and doing the pro team's cardio training, right?
Yeah.
So within that, obviously they had wrestling and boxing and all these things in that workout, and like full contact stuff. We wanted to strip that out, but the original incarnation of it was like this, there was still some train like a fighter in it.
Yeah, I remember, right? They used to have battle ropes was part of it in the beginning.
Yeah, we had all that stuff, and it was like, and then over time we got away from, you know, there's obviously people come from different perspectives, and so some perspectives was that will alienate, you know, the thought was we'd hire people that will alienate people, and it probably would have, but like it would have if we presented it a certain way. But I think it was our job to say, well, no, this is what the brand stands for, and here's how we're going to present that and make sure it's in a way that's not, doesn't alienate people, mm-hmm. but it still keeps that like intensity, right? Like, you know, sometimes you go to a class and people are, no one's really trying on the bike, right? And sometimes you go to a class and everyone's trying their hardest. And the point of the intervals is that like, you should be able to try your hardest in each interval because we're trying to offset, like, hey, yeah, you're getting tired. Your lungs are tired doing this one, but now your muscles are going to be tired on that one. But while your muscles are getting tired, your lungs are recovering, and, or while your legs are recovering, you're using your chest. Or so in theory, which is the same as dozing in essence, right? In theory, you should be able to, they're set up so you should be able to just keep pushing. Mm-hmm. And then it's up to us to create a structure where you recover while you're still working versus the student thinking, you know, throughout Basecamp, a lot of times there's, you know, and it'll depend a little bit on the instructor or depend on the studio, where a lot of people see it's not like they're slacking. It's just the base camp they walked into and they were introduced to on that particular day or month, whatever. They, for whatever reason, rightly or wrongly, got the impression that the bike was when you recover. You know, you work on the mats and you just go back to the bike and you just, you know, just recover, just ride slowly and catch your breath.
Yeah.
But that's not what it's for. It was for like
maximizing,
you know,
35
your
minutes.
10 seconds is your break. Well, the rest of the time you go hard for a minute, go hard for a minute, because that's only 35 minutes. Because if you just, and then that gets into the whole, like, you can only give like the basis, right? You can only say, here's our idea, but really then you don't want to be telling each person what's important, right? So say you could say to someone who came in and they decided they were gonna, you know, you look down the line and there's people talking to each other and pedaling really slowly during class, and then maybe they go on the mats and they were to grab a weight which wasn't too heavy for them, and they get through that minute, and then they get back on the bike and they lollygag, right? So some people in the class would say, oh, well, it's true, right? You're not gonna get the same results doing that as if you were to push yourself on the bike and then find a weight that pushes you on the mats. And but then at the same time, yeah, but maybe that's not what that person wants, right? They're just like, they wouldn't come if they were pushed constantly and there was someone in their face going harder, harder, harder.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're there doing something is better than that's all they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that's when it gets tough. It's like, that's with all these brands, like you create this concept, you make some assumptions on how people are going to interpret it, but then the reality is people are going to interpret things differently, or they're going to want to interact with it differently. Some people are going to be like, oh yeah, this is great food, I'm going to come here every day, it's going to be my kitchen.
They make it like a religion.
Yeah. And you know, some people are like, eh, I'll try it, but you know, it's all right. And it's like, or a base camp, you know, like, or the gym, it's like, do you do programming assuming people are going to come every day, or do you assume people are going to come every other day? You know, but it's a challenge, right? Because you're not saying, here's how you should do this. Some people come every day, and then they might say, hey, why are we doing a lot of legs 2 days in a row? And it's like, well, because you're really only supposed to come every other day, so you shouldn't have come to back-to-back classes, or, you know, or vice versa, you know. So it's all these weird.
So yeah, it's like it's like trying to market toward like the CrossFit people, or more of a general,
yeah,
kind of crowd where they kind of just work out when they can.
Yeah, so I think all you can really do is as long as you is spend more time thinking like what is the brand, sure, what is it supposed to be, and then even then, it's still a living thing. When you're inviting someone into a space or putting a product out there, you're still inviting people to. I'm sure there's fashion designers that make, you know, I don't know, some fucking dress and they didn't think that someone would, I don't know, chop the bottom off or wear it with a fucking belt. I don't know, something, right? People are always like, maybe the designer's like, no, that was supposed to be worn by itself, but someone puts fucking leggings under it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. All you can do is really create something, try your best to explain what it is, and then it's just, you just got to let people interact with it however they want to. And what's interesting though is, it's instead of getting frustrated with the fact that people aren't using exactly how you might have intended, you should more like celebrate the fact that, wow, we created this thing, we had this vision, and look at all the different ways that people are interacting with it, right? That person might not be pushing them as hard as you would like to see them achieve maximum results, but maybe they're working out way more often than they used to, and they're getting benefits out of that. Maybe for them, they're not looking for that, but it's cool that you've created, you know, something that they're still able to interact with in that way. Or, you know, you make some shirt and you're like, hey, that wasn't supposed to be worn with the sleeves cut off, but oh, instead you'd be like, oh, cool, people are, you know,
yeah,
taking the shirt and customizing it or whatever. So that's the thing, is just look at it all like an adventure and don't try to control what's happening or worry about what's happening. Just kind of lean into like, wow, like this is the way it's taken us, awesome, but then have that balance of like,
still got to have a direction.
Yeah, or some like sort of, we're still driving, right? So like, oh, look, there's a fucking path in the sugarcane field. We'll drive through that way, but not like,
you're not letting go of the wheel.
We're not getting towed.
Yeah. You know?
So I don't know. That's what I was thinking about on the trip, was like, almost like a, like what, you know, it's like a blessing, or you're lucky to be able to be anxious or stressed about the fact that you rented a space without really knowing what to do with it. Yeah. Like how, instead of being like, how awesome is that? You get to go figure out what the fuck to do with this space. Yeah. You probably didn't need to, you probably have enough things going on, but like,
I mean, it's a great space.
How awesome, you know? So that was what I was thinking. And I had to think of something because I lost to you in the sports picks last week.
Yes,
so
you did. Speaking of sports picks,
last week, Dennis went 2-1.
2-1. I did pretty good.
I went 1-2.
Yeah, this was basketball or football? I don't remember.
This was football.
Okay, just want to make sure.
So this week, let's get to our picks. We have four games. It's the playoffs. Football playoffs, Dennis. NFL.
Okay, great. College? Or no, NFL.
No, NFL. So we have four games on the schedule. Let me pull them up here. So we are going to go with, well, I don't know how we can do this. Well, did you write yours down?
Yeah, I got mine.
Okay, I wrote mine down too, because we don't want to sit here and pick the same. But there's four games. So the first one is the Colts and the Texans. The Colts are +1.5. Who did you pick? Who
Texans.
Are you picking? Oh, you've got the Texans -1.5. I've got the Colts +1.5.
Simply because I like Texas.
All right. My thought process was, I don't know. I feel like the Texans are not as good as their record, so hopefully
they sound faster. I think that's why I think I like them. They sound faster.
the Texans and the Colts. All right, next one. We got the Seahawks at the Cowboys. The Cowboys are -1.5.
Cowboys, because I don't like Emmitt Smith. Oh, sorry. Seahawks, because I don't like Emmitt Smith.
Well, I got the Seahawks.
He's not playing,
too.
Right? Emmitt Smith isn't playing, right?
No, he's retired in the Hall of Fame, I think. So we both got the Seahawks.
All right.
Chargers +2.5 at the Ravens.
Between a Charger and a Raven, Charger sounds a little more aggressive. I think it probably beat a Raven, so I'm going to go with the Charger.
What is a Charger?
I don't know, I'm thinking like an electrical current.
All right. So you got the Chargers.
Chargers.
I got the Ravens minus 2.5.
Yes.
And then we got the Eagles plus 6 at the Bears.
Bears.
That's what I got too.
Oh, my goodness. Simply because I remember this guy from high school that used to come every day with Eagles clothing. I couldn't stand him. So.
Nice. All right. Well, looks like we're going head-to-head on the Colts and the Ravens.
Colts and Ravens.
And the Seahawks and the Bears were both got the same thing. So.
Yeah. What are we playing for?
Bragging rights.
Okay.
We'll start bragging rights in week 2. There's no point in having... I mean, I think week 1, there's no point in having bragging rights. So last week, it's just we'll just pretend like that never happened. We'll just start. We'll start this week.
wait. That's not fair. Yeah. All right, let me... okay.
Well. Did you get a new phone cover?
No, I got a new phone.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I got the big one.
Oh, nice.
I don't know why. After I got it, I was like, this is stupid.
Does it fit in your pocket?
Barely. Like other things.
Oh. Money?
Money, yeah.
Yeah. What you guys didn't see is when Dennis made his joke, he also did like a two-punch combination and a drum hitting whatever it's called, the hitting the cymbal.
It's a good year. Yeah. It's a good year to be alive.
All right, so we're back. We're doing this today. We got to post this today. We got to get on this.
I'm going to mix it before I leave.
Sweet.
And then, I guess we'll keep going. Updates on the... the new space. I'm so curious what's going to come out.
And Talking Talker. Don't forget you. DC did tell us we're going to do 40 out of 52 weeks. So,
I'm assuming
we're wondering if we're going to take the first 12 weeks off and then try
probably
to
probably first 12 weeks. I know he's got a busy week.
He doesn't listen, I don't think. But we're not going to. You're going to have to instigate this first episode, DC. So we're leaving it up to you.
Yeah, $100.
As soon as we see the bat signal, we'll be there.
Ready to go, microphone in hand.
All right. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year.
Yeah. And
let's adventure.
Week 1. Let's do this.
Week 1 in the book.